Welcome, welcome, welcome back to Forward Pressing episode 94. It is a beautiful Sunday. It is afternoon for me, your host, Kevin Arakelian, not on LinkedIn. How you doing, Yanis? My co-host. What's up, bro?
And we're going full name today.
I'm trying to spice it up, you know? Keep people on their toes.
We gotta find better ways of doing that, though. We can't give you your whole ID like that.
What do you mean you can't give your whole ID like that? People know people's names.
I mean, to be fair, nobody's really looking for us right now.
Exactly. So we're home free for now. But we're going to talk about Premier League season. The football season 2023 is underway. This weekend, we got a lot of leagues starting. I'm just excited football is back. I had to sit back watching Premier League football this weekend, and I was very happy. I don't know about you, but especially with all the transfers that we had and kind of like teams, you know, kind of still gelling and stuff. When we're recording this, we haven't seen my United boys play yet. That's going to be tomorrow morning, unfortunately. But we have a lot to talk about. We'll talk about some Champions League. We'll talk about some predictions, some transfer drama too. Women's World Cup. We're going to touch on all of that. So I'm excited. I don't know about you, but I'm excited.
I was looking forward for a good weekend of football. I was gladly entertained. I think it's always a good feeling when the first week of the season is back. I thought it was going to be kind of rusty, but there's been a lot of good games. Lots of good games. But yeah, I mean, looking forward to a good season again. Once again, we're back. The road to 100, hopefully.
Road to 100?
We're there soon.
We're 6 episodes away. It's going to come and go. It's going to come and go. Okay, do you want to talk transfers first, or do you want to talk, you know, 2023 season preview?
Good point. What do you want to do? I'm thinking preview first.
Preview first? I kind of want to touch on the transfers first, because that might lead into the preview. No, we'll already have the teams kind of established, and then we can kind of give some predictions. I think that's a little bit better.
Enough, let's do that then.
All right, cool. So, biggest name on the market right now, and we got some Fabrizio Romano news this morning. Neymar on the move to Saudi. Al Hilal, the front runners. Neymar enticed by the move. Big money. Loan move to Barca is not in play. It looks like this is going to happen. This is shocking to me. This feels like not like a waste a little bit. You know, like Messi's in the MLS. Ronaldo's in Saudi. I feel like this is like Neymar's chance to, you know, go to a different top European club and maybe get a Ballon d'Or even, you know? Like, I feel like this is like his last chance. I don't know. It feels like Neymar's not in the same space as the others to go make a move like this, you know?
Yeah. I think what you're saying is basically that he still has a lot more to give to the European game.
Yes, exactly. And like, he's not in the same like age range as a Messi or a Ronaldo. Like, he still has years ahead of him. So he can compete at the highest level. I know he's dealt with a lot of injuries, so, you know, maybe not a lot of clubs are running at the chance to sign him for the amount of money that he's going to be getting signed for. So that's probably like something that's hindering his options. But I feel like he could realistically push himself to a club, no matter where the club, you know, like if PSG are willing to get rid of him, like, I don't know, he could go to a side in the Prem. He could go to a side in Italy or Spain. I mean, I feel like Spain is kind of Barca or bust there. So maybe like a Serie A team or a Prem team. Like, there's options. Going to Saudi, I feel like it's just, I know waste has like a negative connotation, and I don't want to kind of like bash on anybody's decision, no matter what he decides to do, but it kind of feels like a waste, you know?
Yeah, I think to me, the two teams that I thought were possibilities, or from what I've heard of, I guess obviously you're hearing people talk about it. To me, it seemed like it was either Barca or Chelsea. Barca, obviously, because the story kind of hasn't really, the chapter really hasn't closed, and we're trying to see if they can like reopen it. But it seems like Xavi doesn't want him, or it seems like the club is like torn apart.
They can't afford him either.
Yeah, well, I mean, they can't. He would have to like be real and like accept not just alone, but like, except lower wages. Then Chelsea probably could match his wages, but then it's a question of like,
Chelsea have already spent so much money this offseason. Like, I feel like they have over like 11 players that I feel like they're new. Like, their starting 11 is completely different.
And they don't have Champions League.
And exactly. So that's a big one. So that's like the only thing that matters for Neymar at this point, pretty much.
Somebody mentioned United. I was like, there's no way United goes on Neymar.
Nah, there's no way. I don't think that's what Ten Hag would want either. So
doesn't fit the mold of the United player.
No, I'm so happy with United. Like, I'm so excited to watch us play tomorrow. If we have a really bad performance tomorrow, I'm going to be so pissed because I am so excited for this season.
But think about it. You won't have to talk about it till the next spot. So
yeah, I know. We'll have to remember. Maybe we'll have two United games to talk about. What about Lukaku though? Like, that felt like. Did you see the rumors where it was kind of like there was gonna be a swap Lukaku for Vlahovic type of thing? And then it kind of fell through, I think, because I think Lukaku couldn't agree on personal terms or something like that. I'm not sure, but that just seems like a weird situation.
My understanding is that as he was trying to negotiate with Inter, he was also negotiating with Juve, like in the under back, and like Inter didn't really like that. It kind of shut down the possibility of him coming back, like, at any point. And the Vlahovic one, it feels like it was made up. There wasn't really no legitimacy to it. So I don't really know where Lukaku is going to play. And that's confusing because...
Saudi.
I don't think Saudi... He doesn't want Saudi. He already refused Saudi.
He's not playing at Chelsea, that's for sure.
He's not playing at Chelsea.
He's not playing at Chelsea, he's not playing at Inter, and Juve fell through. So I don't know where he goes. It doesn't feel like a Prem team.
But the thing is, he could help a Prem team.
Yeah, but do you think he goes like a... You think he does like a Benteke kind of move where he goes to, like, you know... Remember Benteke at the time? He was like top of Liverpool. Then, you know, he goes to like a lower side in the Prem, like a bottom 10 side. And then kind of fizzles out.
Honestly, in the Prem right now, the only team that I could see use him is like Brentford. Just because Ivan Toney is going to be suspended for a while.
Yes. That actually would be a great move. But I feel like he feels like he's too prestigious for a Brentford, you know? I don't know. That's just my take.
Okay, that's the thing. That's the thing with Lukaku is like, and I've heard that a lot as well.
He's got a little bit of an ego.
People say that he thinks he's better than who he actually is.
Yeah, he hasn't backed up his play necessarily to what he thinks. He was talking to himself as one of the best strikers in the world, like with like Benzema and Lewandowski, and man's never played at like that level, I don't think.
Yeah, like he's an above average striker, but he's not like a world class striker, right? Like he's not gonna give you like Champions League, but he could get you at least as a group stages.
I mean, he got them to the final last year.
Yeah, but was it him or Lautaro?
I mean, I don't really like Lautaro either. They gotta feel like slow strikers. I'm not sure, but yeah.
I don't know, I just feel like Lukaku, if he's real with himself, like, he'll take a move like a Brentford and, like, because Brentford is a good team, too, don't get me wrong, like, they can definitely do some damage. Like, for him to, like, try to go into, like, a bigger team again, like, I don't see which big team could use him.
There's nowhere space. There's no space.
Every striker that's there presently is probably better than him at the moment. Would consider the MLS option, but I just don't know which city or which club would like go for him.
Montreal. Let's do it.
Montreal could be interesting, but actually, I mean, Montreal would be great, to be honest.
I mean, he'd have to take heavy pay cuts to go to the MLS. I don't think that's what he would want. So
heavy pay cuts, yeah. So somebody said Houston, I was like, okay, yeah, sure. Houston. I wonder why. But yeah, Houston wouldn't be able to afford him too. So, really, the only team that could in MLS would be Toronto.
Toronto, you think? Not even like a LA team. Not that they would want him, but
I don't think LA just still has Chicharito even though he's injured. They have another strike. They have like a lot of strikers. So even if when Chicharito comes back, it's another issue. Maybe you go to LA Galaxy then, because obviously he likes the States. But I mean, LAFC doesn't need him.
I'm sure he'd love to go to Miami.
I mean, now, who wouldn't want to go to Miami?
I don't think that would fit. I think that would slow Messi down, to be honest.
Yeah, no, he would not be a good addition to that team.
You know who wouldn't slow Messi down, though? Mbappe.
Okay, yeah, well, that's being highly unrealistic. Highly unrealistic.
Listen, I saw news this morning that with Neymar's basically imminent departure, I saw news being like Mbappe is reconsidering staying at PSG. So that just tells me that either he fucking hates Neymar or I don't know. This thing is dragging out so far, and there's so much drama behind the scenes that maybe now he's just over it. He's like, fuck it, I'll just stay. I'm not sure.
It seems like he's back in the first team, though, like the main first team for training. So he's back in the...
I know, that's what I'm saying. So, and right after Neymar says he's going to leave, so I don't know.
I think he's going to end up staying. It's not my best... It's not what I want to happen, but I feel like it's going to...
Kind of, I don't know. It's not going to be Madrid. It's going to be Madrid or something. I don't know. Al Hilal for a year? Saudi?
That would be so... I think that's a bad look on him. Of all the players that are going to Saudi, like, he cannot be. Like, you cannot get Mbappe. It's not even about a money thing.
That's going to be interesting. Because I feel like the Mbappe saga kind of slowed down tremendously in the last couple of weeks. People stopped talking about it because there was no news coming out. You know, he's just not practicing. He feels like he wants a move, but then no move is making, and we don't know what's happening. So
I wonder how Dembele being a new PSG player affects him. If he stays, because I guess he has another guy with him now, but I don't know if that's enough for him to stay. Even if it's just for one season.
Yep. What about Caicedo? This has been a lot of drama recently. It looked like Liverpool were going to get that deal signed, and then out of nowhere, it kind of feels like Chelsea kind of swooped in, and then Caicedo himself is like, I want Chelsea, I'm a Chelsea fan, I want to go to Chelsea, and kind of completely snubbed Liverpool. And now they're like not interested anymore because they were kind of embarrassed. And it's going to be big money too, like over 100 mil. Like that just, it felt like they had a bidding war, and now it's, it got a little bit out of hand, I don't know. Like this is like Jude Bellingham money, you know, like... And I don't think Caicedo is a Bellingham type of player. I mean, he's great, but he's not a... I mean, that's world class. Like,
he's... I'd say he's close, but he's not that close. Like 60 makes sense to Caicedo. Yeah.
60 to 80, probably, with, like, the youth bump and the...
And the Prem tax.
And the bidding war, especially as well, like raising the price, that would make sense to me. But like over 100 just feels like overkill. I'm not sure.
The guy seems like he's settled on Chelsea, and the thing is, him like stalling this entire time kind of hurts everybody else's transfers. Like Tyler Adams was announced was supposed to be a Chelsea player yesterday, like two days ago, and then because of like Caicedo kind of like saying no to Liverpool and like only saying Chelsea. Now Chelsea is like going 100% on Caicedo and like essentially not paying attention to Tyler Adams anymore, which like they're stalling on that. And even Romeo Lavia was considered to be a Chelsea or Liverpool player as well, either one of those two. But now Liverpool is going back on Lavia because Caicedo really only wants Chelsea. And ultimately, I think Aston Villa wanted, of Douglas Luiz from Aston Villa wanted to be an Arsenal player. And Aston Villa was supposed to get Tyler Adams to replace him. But because Adam was initially sent to like Chelsea, I was like confusing as to who goes where. It's like this much. It's like a musical chair type of thing.
And don't even forget the impact that this has on Brighton. Like they could use this money to bolster themselves this transfer window as well. You know, they can make a top four push. Like they have a lot of quality players. They have a deeper squad than you would think. Like with that money, they can make another transfer to this transfer window. But now they're kind of stuck waiting for the money to come in and to see if one of their best players is going to leave as well, you know? So it's tough for everybody.
I mean, judging from the performance yesterday, and I know it was only like a regular, it was Luton, so they're just newly in the Prem, but they look pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, they look pretty good. You had Mitoma on your bench in FPL.
That was a mistake. That was my mistake.
Starting Paqueta, I don't know. Your FPL team needs a lot of work. I was kind of surprised at a lot of your picks.
I mean, I had Isa. Isa was holding and carrying me for the whole week, really.
I know. You have no Man United players.
I got Dalot. What do you mean?
I know, but like Rashford and Bruno are like the two of the best FPL assets to own, and you don't have either of them, which is very concerning.
I'm definitely going to make some transfers. Yeah, I can only make one. But
yeah, you'll have. You also benched Leno. You played Martinez against Villa.
That was a mistake, bro. I was so pissed. I saw Leno had 9 points. I was like, damn.
He's got 12.
He's got 12? Yeah. I put Leno back as a starter from now on, going forward.
I mean, you got to play the fixtures. Next game, Leno plays Brentford, and Martinez plays Everton. So you kind of, I feel like Martinez is a better play. Yeah, Isak, good call though. But the biggest thing that you didn't do is Haaland. No Haaland, you're gonna lose so many points. Everybody has Haaland. Everybody has Haaland.
Yeah, I have. I'm in two leagues, yours included. Everybody has Haaland but me.
But that's what I'm saying. So if you don't have him, then you get screwed.
But that's the thing. Like, I didn't want to just pick. I thought it was obvious.
Yes, I know, because that's the strategy. Haaland is the best player in FPL, and you don't even have him on your team. You can't you can't go too differential because he's at such high ownership that when he does well, you fall so far behind because everybody gets the points and it cancels out for everybody, but you don't even get those points, so it cancels out double for you. That's the thing. Yeah, that's your number one priority.
Yeah, I gotta make a lot of changes, at least progressively. Not too many, but progressively.
Okay, back on topic though. Ousmane Dembele, PSG's new main guy. I think this could go south real quick. One injury early on and shit's hitting the fan.
I'm not too mad at it, but I just feel I do think that it seems to be a step back for him. I thought he was gonna stay at Barca. It seems like everybody at Barca thought he was gonna stay at Barca.
This kind of came out of nowhere and it got dealt with pretty quickly, to be honest.
Yeah, it was pretty quick. I think he really wanted to leave, it seems like. But based on how quick the deal was done, it tells me that he really didn't want to stay in Barcelona, especially with the chance to go to PSG or Paris, but even though he's not from Paris, really. Like I said earlier, I don't know how this affects Mbappe, because now that you got your you're basically one of your guys joining you, are you not convinced to stay for one more year? Is that enough? It's enough to give you a Ligue 1, sure, but it's not enough to give you a Champions League. So I'm curious to see if that changes anything. But from the Dembele's perspective, yeah, I mean, he's going to play. If he stays like injury-free, he's going to be probably one of the best players in the league, as always. But
yeah, he will dominate in Ligue 1.
He will dominate in Ligue 1, but that's the thing. It's Ligue 1. You're expected to dominate. You're a national team player. So that's why it seems like it's a move in the wrong direction for him. But
It kind of feels like for PSG though, this is their Mbappe replacement. Their French player playing for Paris at an all-star level to, you know, kind of represent, you know, the French brand a little bit, you know?
I mean, it has to work. If he stays on the field, then it'll work. But like I said, with Mbappe, there's been injuries.
That's the thing though. There's no room to maneuver or like a wiggle room, because his excellence is expected. Nothing short of excellence will be expected to make this transfer a success. If he stays healthy, which is a big if, he has to play excellent. If he doesn't play excellent, it will be looked as a bust. And if he gets injured, it will be looked as a bust. So there's like kind of no room for error here, which is, it feels like it puts a lot of pressure on him. So I hope he can deliver.
Imagine the pressure if Mbappe leaves and just doubles.
But that's what I'm saying. I feel like that's what kind of PSG are setting him up for. But if he stays, then it's kind of both of them, you know, together. That could be a good combo, especially if Neymar leaves. But is Dembele better than Neymar right now? I'm not sure. Maybe different helps. Maybe different, you know, voice in the room and presence helps. But I'm not sure.
But he's not. That's the thing. That's not, Dembele is not like a presence guy. He's not a leader. He does his thing, but he's not like
the... No, but the fact that Neymar isn't there, you know, it could be. So I'm not sure.
Yeah, they did get Gonçalo Ramos as well from Benfica, and that's a good striker to get. He was wanted by a lot of clubs. So PSG has done some good business overall. Obviously, there's still kind of a questionable situations with Chelsea, with Mbappe and Neymar. For the most part, they've signed some quality players.
What about Madrid? I feel like, you know, Courtois, you know, just towards ACL. Kind of felt like if Raya didn't sign for Arsenal, he would have been like the main candidate to go there. But now it kind of feels like Kepa is the main man. I think that's I think it's basically confirmed that Kepa's gonna be Madrid goalie.
He wasn't on the bench today for against Liverpool, so that kind of confirms it.
No, he's for sure getting a move. I mean, Chelsea brought in Sanchez, right? And it kind of felt like that was to mitigate the Kepa leaving situation.
Look, I don't think Kepa was supposed to leave at that point. I think it was supposed to be a competition between the two.
But they bought Sanchez before Kepa left. So, exactly. And now Courtois, you know, gets injured. And the fact that a top team has two, like, starting caliber goalies means that it's easy for one of them to go.
Yeah. But that's, like you said, Raya must be hot right now. That should have been him.
Yeah, a week later, he could have been a Madrid goalie.
Could have been. I don't understand Arteta's move on that. I don't understand it still.
Yeah, that's. We'll talk about Arsenal, I guess, in the season preview, but I did want to touch on that because, I mean, we've. I feel like, you know, I sent you the post of Peter Schmeichel talking about this, and I think he was spot on, where it's kind of like, as a goalie, you want to have that reassurance that if you make a mistake, you're not completely done, and you have a chance at redemption, you know, because already, like, if you make a mistake or the team loses and it's partly your fault, you can get in your head a lot, and you have to have a strong mentality, you know, to bounce back. So the fact that if the manager already kind of bringing in another keeper like that, it kind of feels like it takes away the trust from you. Maybe can hinder your game a little bit, and then you know that if you make a mistake, there's a guy right there to replace you. It kind of gives you, it can be like an unhealthy competition, if anything, at a position that you do need reliability. So I agree, very questionable from Arteta. I hope it works out for you guys, but that's because nobody's going to be happy with their playing time at this point, because both goalies deserve to play over half the games. Both goalies deserve to play a majority of the games in terms of like their quality. So the fact that neither of them will play the majority of games, or maybe one will and the other won't, like it feels just going to cause drama. Very concerning.
Yeah, I mean, one goalie is, I mean, they're both number ones. And like, yeah, they're both number ones. Unless like something happens, like some injuries happen, I don't see how Ramsdale doesn't keep his spot. It's going to be tough for, I think Raya might be in the, I mean, it's only a loan. So if we think about it, it's not really. It's
not alone.
It is alone.
It's not alone. No, it's not alone. It's an official transfer.
It's a loan, but with a buy-in clause of like 27 mil.
No, there's no way. I'm pretty sure. I'm gonna look. I'm gonna look it up. You talk about De Gea and stuff.
Yeah. So like I was saying, it seems like. Raya might be losing out on this one because I don't see how Ramsdale doesn't really keep his spot. I mean, he played yesterday, conceded one goal, but it wasn't really on him. And kind of going back to the Peter Schmeichel comment you sent me, I do agree with him as well. Like, your keeper, you don't want your keeper to be like nervous about making mistakes. I mean, obviously people make mistakes, and you don't want your keeper to make a mistake because that could cost you. But if one mistake costs you a goal game or costs you not playing for the next 2-3 games, you're going to be in your head so easily after making one, and you're not going to be playing at your best level. And ultimately, it'll affect the team too, because you want to have some stability and goal as well. Ramsdale has been solid for pretty much the whole of last season. He's been solidified. To me, he's probably England's number one too. And that might be a problem now that Raya is also in the picture for game time. So I don't see how this does not hurt Ramsdale in the end. It doesn't help Ramsdale in the end. Like, if he, not to say that he's not a better keeper than Raya, I think they're as good as each other. They're both similar players, just their shot stopping ability, and I think on the ball, maybe Raya's slightly better, but I don't think the gap is that big. So, yeah, I mean, to me, Arteta seems to be. I still question the move. Hopefully, it works out, but I don't see how you can keep those two and be sad and keep them both satisfied, because that's probably not going to happen.
All right, I got the news. So it's a loan, but it's basically, the loan is kind of like a fake loan. It's a permanent deal, pretty much. They just needed to do the loan to kind of get around some financial fair play clauses. So, but it's basically a permanent deal with contract term until 2028.
And that's a long time. That's actually not a good.
So that's what I'm saying. It's very confusing. I mean, I guess we'll see. Do you think that, I feel like when you make a move like this and you give that much term to a goalie, like, he's not signing for that long expecting to be a backup or competing for the number one spot for that long. I feel like this kind of shows that maybe Arteta's leaning away from Ramsdale, but I'm not sure. I'm really not sure. It's very odd.
That's to watch. We got to keep watching it to see.
Where do you think De Gea goes?
I actually don't know who where he goes because
I thought he was going to be a shoo-in for the Madrid job after the Courtois injury, especially because, you know, they wanted him a while ago. I know he's not the same player that he was 8 years ago when they were closing in on a deal for him, but the Kepa thing kind of happened really quick.
Yeah, I don't see where De Gea go. I mean, Madrid, does Madrid need a second? Does Barca need a second keeper? I don't think so. Atletico has Oblak and Gerberich. I don't see maybe Juve, but Juve doesn't really need a second keeper. I think the only team that could use a first keeper was Inter, but then they bought Sommer already.
Yeah, so I don't know. He's gonna go somewhere though.
Yeah, he might go to Saudi, low key, or MLS. Honestly,
not sure. What about Harry Kane to Bayern? Move official. We kind of didn't think this was gonna happen because Daniel Levy is very stingy. But it's a big deal. Spurs sell their best player in team history, probably. One of England's best players, you know, leading scorer, everything. Hasn't won anything. I would say huge failure by Spurs, to be honest. But Bayern, yet another legitimate world-class striker. Didn't go too well in first performance against Leipzig, I will say. But I guess a lot of growing pains. I'm not concerned, though. I think it's all going to come together. He wants a Champions League. The league title in the Bundesliga is not going to mean much. I feel like he kind of wastes an opportunity to kind of like really make history in the Prem. But nonetheless, if he gets in Champions League, it'll be worth it, I think.
That's the thing. If the only reason why he made this move to me is a Champions League. If he doesn't get a Champions League, then this move was a failure to me. You're not solidifying yourself as a great striker by winning the Bundesliga, especially when you missed out on the Prem so many times. So I think Bayern paid a hefty price for him, so they have to get a Champions League. If he doesn't get a Champions League, honestly, it'll feel like an L. And from a Spurs perspective, now you also have little to no time to find players to replace him. And you have the money now, which is good, but you're not gonna be able to sustain the whole season with just Son. Even though he's a great player, so you need more than just Son.
Agreed. He's the new captain now.
He is, yeah. I am expecting some signings from Spurs very quickly here, just because
You think? Before transfer window closes?
Absolutely. They have to.
I think they may not.
They have to sign somebody. I mean, they signed another striker. Maybe two strikers, really good. At least one forward, one striker. I would assume that Jonathan David could be interested in this.
We haven't heard his name this transfer window. He's been quiet.
I'm surprised by how it's been quiet, kind of quiet on this part. But for Harry Kane, Bayern Munich.
It feels weird, right?
I mean, don't get me wrong. The Bundesliga is not a. I mean, Bayern is obviously the better team, but you to go for a whole season to the Bundesliga from the Prem to the Bundesliga is like it feels like a regression.
I know. I guess we'll see how it goes.
Like Madrid made the most sense.
Yeah, but Madrid, I feel like they didn't. They were saving their money for Mbappe.
Yeah, or even go to United or something, but
United went young. United went Hoyland, which I think probably in the long term is probably ends up being better.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the thing. If you want Harry Kane, that means you're trying to win now.
Yeah, but we can still win now with Hoyland. That's the thing. But most definitely Harry Kane would have been a better player for a win now purposes anyways.
Yeah, we'll talk about it later, depending on how the season goes, but it just doesn't feel right. I mean, you choose where you want to go. Congrats on the move for sure, but I don't know. I don't know if in the long term he'll end up like maybe regretting it or not. Hopefully not, but like you said, it doesn't feel right.
Agreed. All right, let's talk season preview. Let's start from back to front. Yeah, I see you have written the Bayern Liga. You're not wrong. You're not wrong. So what do we say? Is it?
I got Bayern winning it.
Yeah, I know.
There's nothing else to say, really.
What about Ligue 1? Do you think there's any competition this year or not really?
I think Marseille might surprise a lot of people. Yeah, I think Marseille actually could do it. I don't think they'll do it. Obviously, they'll qualify for the Champions League, but I like the moves that they've done. They brought Aubameyang back to Ligue 1. They signed Iliman Ndiaye, who I'm really high on. For the most part, I think if the season in by quarters like they did, that's kind of like this year, they've already won a game yesterday. I think they could surprise and challenge PSG for the league title for sure. I want to say it's going to be a close race.
That's going to be the big question. Serie A, I feel like this is the one that's kind of up in the air besides the Prem.
I got Milan. I like a lot. We've talked about it. Milan has done a lot of great business this summer.
Yes, they have. They made a well-rounded squad. Like, they spend their money. They spread it out, you know?
Yeah, the Tonali money got spent very wisely. Tonali's been flying for Newcastle, by the way. I watched the game yesterday. Looked very good.
I was thinking, seeing him play, I was like, I gotta try to get this man in my FPL team. But
dog, I'm gonna get the whole Newcastle team in my FPL team at this point.
You'll have to tell me. We're gonna have to talk about it before you make any changes for your FPL team, because I'm worried about you.
I'm worried about me myself. When I saw everybody having Haaland, I was like, maybe I did something wrong here. Maybe I was wrong.
It's your first year. My first year was also like that. Don't worry.
It's not my first year. It's my second year with. I mean, it's my first year with you. It's my second year with my other friends.
I know, but you did a draft last time. This is like real FPL though.
I like draft better.
I think real FPL. I also thought I liked draft better because I'm coming from like football, like American football and like hockey and stuff. But I really appreciate the different aspect to FPL fantasy in general. I think it's fun. This is my first year that I'm like all in from the start. Last year I only started paying attention like halfway through the year. And the years before I would like make my team and then not check it after like the first 3 weeks.
Yeah. But no, I don't like this. I like the draft much better. Because at least you can sort of like get ready for you. I know some people still do draft, but I don't like this set. I like the draft much, much better.
Alright, listen, we'll see. Okay. What about
I have Milan winning the Serie A, by the way.
I also think Milan are my favorite. But I think we could see a Napoli kind of like have another dominant season. Osimhen is still there.
I think Milan and Napoli are going to fight for number one. I don't know if Roma makes the Champions League for next year. It is Mourinho, so you got to trust in Mourinho. I think Juve might take a step back.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's inevitable, but who knows? La Liga, is this Madrid again, or is it again? I mean, Barca won last year, but do you think it goes back to Madrid this time around, or...?
I think Barca still has an edge. I gave Barca the edge slightly. It'll be tough because now that they lost Dembele, even though he wasn't the most effective or at least more present player, he was still a big threat. And Barca needs to replace him. But I think overall I'm leaning towards Barca to win it again. Madrid is gonna be a close second though.
I think Madrid is gonna take it this year.
Oh, you think so?
I think so, yeah.
Did you see Jude yesterday? Just the first game?
Yeah, and I saw them. They weren't really happy with the celebration.
Yeah, I mean, that's his thing, though. Better get used to it.
Ooh! Better get used to it. You're not wrong. Yeah, Prem. This is the big one. This is the big money maker. What do we think?
I mean, it's gonna be City.
Okay, City first. Who? What's the order? What are we doing? Give me a top five. Yeah, give me a top five.
I feel like because this year it's the top five going to Champions League, right? Okay, so City first. Arsenal second.
All right, you're already going.
Right, he's already breathing hard. I want to say. Liverpool third, Chelsea fourth.
What are we doing? What are we doing?
United fifth. Oh, you know what? You know what? Let me think about this again. Let me think, because I have to put Newcastle in here somewhere.
Man's gonna put United outside the top six. He's just gonna be like, oh, Brighton.
I don't know how Newcastle doesn't make this top five.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Now you're gonna be like, oh, Newcastle should probably be five, you know?
Oh, I said United five. You go again. I want to think about this. You go.
All right, City first, and then. Oh man, I wish we saw the first. I wish I saw United's first game, but I think we have the best chance of finishing second, either us or Arsenal. So I think it's gonna be, I think top three is gonna be City, United, Arsenal, and then Newcastle. No. City, United, Arsenal. And then I'm leaning between, I think Chelsea will do well with Pochettino. That's the thing. Chelsea, no, but I think it might be too soon. It's between Liverpool, Chelsea, and Newcastle, I think. But like Brighton could surprise. That's the only team I kind of see like surprising this season. I'm going to go... Okay. Sorry, I'm rambling. I'm going to go City, United, Arsenal, Liverpool, Newcastle. Top five. Chelsea back-to-back. No European football. Or no Champions League football.
I think I'm going to stick to what I said. I'm going to stick to the City, Arsenal, Liverpool, Chelsea, United. And then I'm going to put Newcastle six. Just because they're obviously not... They're new to the Champions League, and that might take a toll on them.
Do you think that if United get like Amrabat, that it changes anything for you or no? Because we're gonna make another signing.
I think it doesn't, because you already lost Fred, so you need Amrabat anyways.
I know, but Amrabat is an upgrade.
Is he?
What do I mean? Is he? Yeah, he's definitely an upgrade.
He's been quiet since the World Cup, really. For being honest,
he's been saving himself for a transfer.
That's also because we don't really watch Fiorentina like that. We don't really know.
No, exactly. I think he's going to be great. And especially because, I mean, Ten Hag wants him, you know? So that... I'm expecting big things from Højlund second half of the season. I think if Sancho plays consistent, that's great. I think the fact that we have a striker can have Rashford playing on the wing more often. Yes, exactly. With Bruno laying everybody up and Casemiro in the back, our defensive partnership pretty sturdy. Maguire not at the club anymore, hopefully. We completely upgrade the goalie position with a ball playing goalkeeper at the back. I think that's going to be like the biggest upgrade. So I'm excited for this season. I think we made a lot of good moves, and I think we got better. Maybe it takes a couple of games to get acclimated to each other. But last season we had a rough start, and then we became a dominant team, I think. So,
who would be the starting center back partnership?
I mean, Varane and Martinez.
Okay. Do you think you need maybe one more? I heard Todibo when I was mentioned.
Exactly, and he looks like a big time player.
Would you be interested?
Yeah, I would be very interested.
Because Varane is injury prone. To be perfectly honest. So is Martinez, really.
I mean, we have Lindelof still.
Yeah, but that's still one. I mean, he's still, don't get me wrong, he's good, but that's one.
And Luke Shaw has played center back as well. And he's played really well at center back.
Yeah, but do you want to be stuck with Luke Shaw for... You don't want to be stuck with Luke Shaw as your center back for more than like a month.
Definitely. He's played really well. He's played really well. And we have more fullbacks than I think center back depth. But we have better fullbacks, you know. Like Wan-Bissaka has had low key his career rejuvenated under Ten Hag. Like he's become a better player. And Dalot has been really good as well. So you kind of get the chance to play both of them at the same time. I think we have a lot of options. So I'm excited. Maybe you know Anthony gets more consistent. A rotation of midfield where, you know, we have Casemiro, Eriksen, Bruno as a 10, Mount, Mason Mount. I know he hasn't really had like the best start. He kind of missed a sitter in one of the games, but a lot of players missed a sitter. So I think we have some good options. Mino looks good. He should come back at the start of next year because he got injured, but
he's one for the future.
That's another, yeah, exactly, one for the future. But he can already make an impact. So he's only 18. So yeah, I'm excited for this year. I think anything below third would be a disappointment. Because I think City will be obviously heavy favorites to go back to back again. I know Arsenal, you know, top club, they kind of like let one go last year, so this year they're going to be coming with some fire. Hopefully, I feel like as long as the internal stuff doesn't blow up in their face with the goalkeeper situation and whatnot, I feel like they're also like, I feel like Arsenal and United are should be the top three. And Chelsea and Liverpool got to show it to us, you know?
Yeah. I mean, Chelsea's been impressive today, so it's a sign in the good direction. I'm looking forward to see what Chelsea does.
It's one game. We don't want to overreact and kind of like, you know, generalize for the rest of the season based on how we saw one game play. But I think I'm more hopeful for Chelsea than Liverpool, just because I feel like they made more moves and they have more potential to be had. And I think the coaching change for Chelsea will help them like kind of like raise their ceiling. But I feel like the floor for Chelsea is a lot lower as well. So I feel like Liverpool is probably a safer bet to finish in that European spot. But I feel like Chelsea, if like everything goes well and the players all hit and they mesh well, then like they could be a title contender as well, I think.
I don't see. Let me rephrase.
They're not going to beat Man City, but I think they can get in the Arsenal United tier. They made too many moves. They have a lot of quality players and a manager that knows what he's doing in the Prem. So I think that if all goes well, if the players mesh well, like they have a ceiling where they can be like highly competitive again, because last season was horrific.
No, they only have one game a week.
That's what I'm saying. So
Champions League, no European competitions.
But you know, Arsenal had that last year and it didn't go well. Anything can happen.
I do think that Arsenal still needs some help up front. Obviously, we lost Jesus, but Nketiah did score yesterday. But I don't know. I mean, there's Balogun on the bench as well. I don't know if that's...
He's a big, big presence. A lot of people are excited for him.
Yeah. But I think if Balogun sees that he's not getting any playing time, he's probably going to ask for a transfer. Yeah. I know Inter is on him, but I could see him going back to Liga as well somewhere.
Other teams in the Prem were interested.
I could see him. Honestly, Brentford.
Yeah, I could see that. That would be really good for them. A team like that, or like even like a team in the bottom 10 that where he would play every game a lot of minutes, I think that would be great for his development. Like a Forest or something, you know?
Yeah. Forest could actually be interesting. I think, I don't know if Forest already signed a striker. Well, I mean, they signed Awoniyi.
They signed Elanga. They signed Elanga as well. And he played really well.
I'm really curious to see where Balogun goes or stays, because if Nketiah starts, that tells me that Arteta is kind of leaning more on him, and then plus he did score yesterday, so it seems like the gamble has worked. So I wouldn't be surprised if Balogun gets or leaves before the end of the transfer window.
I agree. All right, let's touch on some Women's World Cup for a little bit before we...
Should we do the Champions League, the Champions League one?
Okay, so we'll do Women's World Cup maybe next time, and we can touch on more of it because we're getting into the final round.
Well, do you want to wait for the Champions League? Should we wait maybe before we saw the draw first?
I mean, I feel like we could touch on Champions League and maybe Europa League, and then we can give our hot take. And I think
we can do Women's World Cup real quick because it's this week is the semi, so we gotta hit it. We'll hit it quickly.
All right, let's hit the Women's World Cup. Give me your quick thoughts. Japan out.
That was a sad day. That was a very sad day.
I thought they were going all the way. We thought they were the only team that kind of looked like they didn't show weakness, you know?
They were my favorites.
I mean, I think they were everybody's favorites, right? Besides the U.S.?
Yeah, but I had, except the U.S., but I did have them winning. Sweden's been upsetting a lot of teams. They've upset the U.S. I think the U.S. is going to... Yes, they'll bounce back, though. It is America. They'll bounce back. But Japan was more shocking to me because of how Japan missed the PK. The chances just went falling. The Swedish keeper, those last two games, brilliant, especially against the Americans. She was very, she was on her game. So credit to them. I think Sweden could surprise. I mean, they're a good team, don't get me wrong. But in terms of winning it, I don't think they were, like, considered one of the favorites. But right now, it's looking more likely.
Anything could happen, though. I told you Spain, though. Spain was my team that I kind of said underdog. They had a really good showing early in the tournament. And I kind of felt like they had something special. And they're in the Final Four, so. And I think they can beat Sweden. So. They have the best player in the world, no?
Putellas? I don't know if she's there. I think she's injured. I don't know if she's in the tournament. I think she might have gotten injured before the tournament. There's been a lot of injuries before the tournament, by the way.
That's crazy that they're this far, and she's... That's crazy that they're this far. Yeah.
There's been a lot of injuries. We got. I was reading an article on The Athletic about that, but a topic for another day. Yeah, there's been a lot of injuries, but I could see Spain beat Sweden. I could see that. It's not impossible.
Who's the favorite right now, you think? Final Four?
I think it's got to be England. England or Spain.
You think?
Yeah, I think England edges Spain.
And I think they're probably... They're going to have a good chance against Australia, too. Like, that's a very winnable game.
Yeah. Honestly, Australia against France wasn't the most, like, interesting game, but the PKs were dramatic as hell. I stayed up all night to watch that, and I mean, it was kind of worth it towards the end, but we got yelled at the next day because we were yelling so much at the PKs, me and my sister. that wasn't great. But overall, like, congrats to Australia for making the semis. I do think that England wins, though. I have England winning that.
They've had some tough matchups, England. Like, they've definitely had a harder side of the bracket, I think. Like, Nigeria and Colombia, I think.
And Nigeria was tough. Nigeria was tough.
Yeah, I think that was a tougher side where Australia, you know, Denmark is not one of the top teams. France was difficult, though, but they're making a run. Like, I think nobody expected Australia to make it this far.
I had them in my Final Four.
No, you didn't, did you?
I'm looking at the previews from last. Oh, no, never mind. I didn't. I had England, though. I had England.
Yeah, I think we had Netherlands, Japan, like... England, France, probably. I feel like that feels like.
I had Canada. That was big. That was a big wish.
Oof. I told you Canada wasn't making out of the group. I told you.
Yeah, I didn't expect it at least making out.
Oh, we had the U.S. We had the U.S. too, so that too.
Yeah, but that's everybody had the U.S. So I have England beating Australia. I have Spain beating Sweden. And I have England winning it all.
I got a final of Spain, England, and England winning it all. They're coming home. It's going home.
It's going home for real this time.
All right. To end it, give me one hot take for the season. It can be. I want to say let's do prem specific, maybe, or it doesn't have to be. Yeah, you want prem specific and then one for the rest, and then we'll end it.
Okay. Everton gets relegated.
That was what I was gonna say.
I don't know if that's a hot take though.
Okay, let me think of something else. I think my hot take is let me think. You caught me off guard now. Okay, well, give me a hot take for non-prem while I think about this.
Okay. Let's see. I think Thomas Tuchel will get sacked.
Why?
I don't know.
I don't know. It's just a hot take.
I don't know why. Something. I'm just blurring out words at this point. I think Thomas Tuchel will get sacked.
Interesting. Okay, my hot take is, I think, I don't know if this is a hot take, it's probably not. I think Bruno Fernandes leads the league in goal contributions, so goals and assists combined.
Over KDB?
Yes. I think he ends up leading the league. KDB can't stay healthy, so that's one thing. Already, first game, he's already out injured, so. And for my hot take outside of the Prem, I think, let's see. I think Napoli finish outside the Champions League spots into Serie A. Big regression from Napoli, I think. Remember this day.
Oh, so yeah. No, big regression from Napoli.
I know, but they still have Osimhen, and that was like their big guy that we thought wasn't going to move, so.
Oh, can I give you one last take?
What is it? Neymar to MLS?
The most controversial one? Not controversial, but I think I've heard it before, so it's not me saying it, but I do agree with it. I think Barca could win the Champions League this season.
I think so too. I think they're definitely, I mean, I think Man City has the best chance to go back to back. I think the usual juggernauts in the rest of Europe are not as strong as they usually are. So I think there's an opportunity there for somebody to come and take it. I think Barca can do it.
I do, yeah. I think that's my Champions League winner, I guess you could say.
I think we get a full Spanish final in the Champions League.
Oh, Madrid Barca.
Madrid Barca. Or I'm saying full Spanish, so I'm leaving room for Atletico if something happens, but unlikely.
yeah, that's a big wish. That's a big if.
I think that can happen. All right, let's wrap it up. Episode 94 in the books. This is a long one, so if you made it this far, we're surprised, but we really appreciate it. Almost 52 minutes in. Really appreciate you guys being here, supporting everything. So make sure you drop us a follow on our socials, @ForwardPressPod or @Forward_Pressing, Instagram, Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. Threads, TikTok, whatever you want. Drop us a follow so you're notified every time the episodes go live and discuss with us there. And hopefully we'll see you on the next episode with some Man United games to talk about. Peace from me.
Peace. Editing's going to be long on this one.
We had a lot to talk about.
And we did. Stop.